You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the It's Always Draft Season podcast, part of the Packernet Podcast Network. Jake Schiffink here with you guys. We are just over 48 hours until the draft as of this recording. It's going to be, you know, a long 48 hours, listening to rumors, all that stuff, but figured let's break out the forecasting pants here and take a shot at talking about some of the trades that we could possibly see that could shape the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. So got a few of them here, and obviously they're built on certain scenarios, and you know, that's obviously what we've been doing for the last several months with mock drafts, is building these scenarios, who can do this because of this. So there's a lot of that in this pod today, but we're going to go through a few of these and kind of talk through less about the compensation and more about like why it makes sense and what, you know, team trading up is coming to get, of course, but what the team trading down can take advantage of because of a move like this. So let's start here because I think it's the most relevant of any at this moment. And that is the Vikings or the Raiders making a move to 3 with the Patriots. Now, in this scenario, I think Elliott Wolf has talked about quarterbacks. He's talked about liking both quarterbacks. I feel like at this point, it is a little bit of a smokescreen to this point. I do think the Patriots want Drake May at 3. And there's a chance that they don't get him. And I think that's the scenario that's occurring here. You get Caleb Williams going 1 to the Bears and then Drake May to the Commanders. And then I think now you have two teams interested in potentially moving up to 3 here. And maybe the Giants are as well. But I do think the Giants don't have to be as aggressive, right? They have pick 6. They can offer enough to maybe get up to 4. We'll probably talk about that in a little bit. But this would be the Vikings potentially offering 11, 23, and another 1 to come up and take Jaden Daniels. And Vegas, who Antonio Pierce recruited Jaden Daniels at Arizona State, right? Don't forget about that. That interest was mentioned way earlier in the process, back in maybe January, February, where it was like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If he's available at 3, I'm almost certain the Raiders are going to pretty much push all the chips to the table to try and make this happen. It'll probably take 3 ones as well. That level of demand is going to force the hand of a lot of the teams that are offering. Would Denver get in on the mix here? I don't think so. I think it'd be between the Vikings and the Raiders. Obviously, both are moving up for Daniels, but what this does benefit New England is, you're New England, your roster's not the best. Obviously, I think if you select Drake May, there's a possibility, and I talked about this on a mock draft with some buddies recently. It was just, you know, maybe the Patriots say, you know what, like, we take Drake May, we're sitting him for a full season. We're building up the O-line and the receiver room and everything around that situation over the next two drafts, and then you insert Drake May into the starting lineup in 2025. You know, he gets plenty of coaching. Right, he's in the film room a bunch. He's working a lot of things, you know, mechanically in his first season as a red shirt almost. And then he takes over the reins in 25, and you potentially have a tremendous franchise quarterback on your hands. New England can use that, and they go, okay, we get 11, right? You're in the midst of what could be a really good tackle run. You know, you want a Taliesa Fuanga. You want Troy Fautanu. You want Olufashinu. I don't think Alt's going to be there at 11, but you can have one of those three. You could add J.C. Latham if you want to go that direction as well. Amarius Mims. You're going to have a lot of choices at offensive tackle. And I know that that hurts a little bit at receiver, but you got to remember, right? You're moving back. You're getting 11. You're getting 23. You still have 34. And it's going to give you ample time to go out there and land receivers. You have pick 68 as well. Don't forget about that. So New England's going to have a lot of opportunities to, you know, basically flood the offense with talent. And it does. And at 23, you could, you know, throw the curveball in there and draft a good defensive player that might still be available. You want a Cooper DeJean for your defense. Do you want that type of player? Maybe you already think you have that in Duggar, but maybe not. And you want a Cooper DeJean, or you want a Kool-Aid McKinstry, you want a Nate Wiggins, you want maybe one of the defensive tackles, or you want an edge rusher, or maybe Verse falls there, or Latu falls there. You could go defense at that pick. Then at 34 and 68, you know, you're taking advantage of, okay, like, do we like Ladd McConkey? Do we like Xavier Leggett? Do we like Javon Baker in the third round? Do we like Jalen Polk or Jalen McMillan? Like, you have a chance to kind of rebuild the receiver room with some talented players, get your offensive tackle, get a cornerstone on defense, and then you've now kind of built up this room a little bit better. Maybe you're going offensive line in the third round and you're waiting to 103 to address receiver again, but they're going to have a lot of options. And that might be the best case scenario for New England if they don't want to go the quarterback route at three, if they had one guy in mind and he's not available. So I think that would be a really, really good way for New England to maneuver on the board. Maybe they move back from 23 and acquire even more on day two because they feel like they got the tackle they wanted at 11. They're like, you know, we don't love what's here at 23. We'll get into that about pick 23 and some others later. But I do think, like, New England could build the foundation up for the franchise quarterback, bring the franchise quarterback to a much better situation in a year than you have currently. And so, you know, you get these young players developing, you get a season under their belt, and you come back for the 2025 draft, you ace it again, and now you're in a good position with a potential young quarterback, where I think New England, with Brissett, with the young roster, with a depleted roster, probably going to be picking high enough where they could, you know, if things break maybe not their way and they're picking like fourth, they can move from 4 to 1 pretty quickly. And again, grab your quarterback that you would like for the future. So one option, Vikings and Raiders get aggressive and make that move to 3. The next one's a doozy, okay? It's Buffalo making a Julio Jones move for Rome or a significant move up for Brian Thomas Jr. So to move up for Rome Odunze, it's probably going to take moving to, you would think, 8 or 9. So you're moving up to Atlanta's spot, or you're moving up to Chicago's spot to take Rome. And you get Rome Odunze in the building for Buffalo with Josh Allen. Atlanta moves all the way back to, I believe, 28, which you may think, okay, that's not the best. But, you know, you could go Monty Austin for it a little bit. You've probably picked up a massive amount of capital with a 20-pick move-up to the point of, like, you have probably a future first. You could turn your 2025 second into something if you want to get back up and grab a defensive player in the late teens, early 20s. You want your, you know, you want to get back up for Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold. Maybe you want to get back up for Terrion Arnold. And you say, okay, we move down to 28 and we move up to, like, 16. And Terrion Arnold's still available at 16 with Seattle, another team who may want to move down. You'll have that. You'll have enough capital to make that happen if you want. Now, I think at 28, you could see Latu available if the health medical stuff, like teams have taken him off their board, fall far enough that you could pick him there. Chop Robinson, Marshawn Nealon, players who are going to be available, you know, late round one, early day two, that could help that defensive line. Same with adding a Chris Jenkins or a Rook Ororo from Clemson. Like, they're going to Braden Fisk, they're going to be disruptive players on day two at defensive tackle that you can add as well. So there's a way to rebuild that defensive line pretty quickly, even with this move down. You want your corner, you can go get him. You could take, you know, maybe Kool-Aid is available at 28. Maybe Wiggins is available at 28. Maybe you know that going in and you feel comfortable with it. Rakestraw, Kamari Lassiter, all those options on day two that you're going to be able to take advantage of as well. Maybe you're looking for your flank or your wide receiver too. You can definitely find that in this draft. You can also, you know, look for offensive line depth. You're going to have a bevy of picks. Buffalo's going to offer a ton for this if they're going to move up like this. So Atlanta, or if you're Chicago at 9, don't forget about Chicago. Like, Chicago obviously could take Roma Dunze at 9 if he's available. Not bad an eye. You could also move back a bunch, and because you have 4 picks in this entire draft, to the point where, okay, now we have some more pieces to build around Caleb Williams, right? We didn't get Roma Dunze, but maybe, you know, we're moving back to 28. We like Adonai Mitchell, or we like Ladd McConkey as the wide receiver too. They're going to have, or you like Xavier Leggett, perhaps, or Worthy, whoever you like, right? Like, you're going to have options there as well. You're going to have a bevy of options on day 2 at offensive line, which I think they need. It should still be in play for them at 9. But, like, 2 teams who could make the most out of a move back of that scale, Chicago and Atlanta. Now, the other move up is Buffalo not getting as aggressive, but 28-16 with Seattle, a team who also doesn't have a ton of capital and maybe would like to move back. Maybe Seattle feels like they can get an offensive lineman they like at 28. Maybe that's Jackson Powers Johnson, right, to anchor the interior of the offensive line, and you feel really comfortable with that. Maybe it's Kingsley Suamataia, who has played left and right tackle, can play some guard, give you some flexibility on your offensive line. So that's potentially an option as well. So now you have room on the offensive line. You can get some potential pieces on defense for secondary or the defensive line, or maybe you want to go edge at 28. Like, that's also a possibility. And you feel like, okay, well, now we've got Buffalo's pick at 60, potentially, right? And you'll be able to help the offensive line that late. Seattle could reinforce the trenches with a move back like this. They don't have a lot of picks as well, so that's a nice option there. And then Buffalo obviously moves up to take Brian Thomas Jr., who is the deep threat that they could really use for Josh Allen down the field. You get Brian Thomas Jr., Curtis Samuel, and Khalil Shakir with Dalton Kincaid. I kind of like that. I don't see any problem with that room. So really solid move there, but Buffalo could get extremely aggressive. Don't rule it out. Might be a little more out there than others, but something that is worth considering. All right, so the next trade scenario on the list here is a pretty simple one. I think it's the Jets making a mini move up here for a wide receiver, likely Roma Dunze at pick 7, trading with Tennessee. They land Rome. Tennessee would for sure get one of Alt, Fautanu, and Fashanu. The danger of this is Chicago, of course, pivoting and going Joe Alt at 9. I think that's the danger of this scenario, and probably why Tennessee would lean no. Just because Chicago at 9 without Roma Dunze on the board gets really interesting. Joe Alt should be in play there. Braxton Jones becomes the swing tackle in that scenario. Obviously, Byron Murphy becomes one. Jared Verse. So they're going to have a lot of options at 9. And it's just probably a risk Tennessee will not take. But I'm sure it's something the Jets are at least inquiring about and probably have inquired about already. We'll just see if that's something that would materialize on draft day. I think it hinges on Tennessee's likelihood of landing Alt, even moving 3 spots back. And the problem as well with that is Atlanta potentially moving down with teams that would come up to draft Joe Alt at 8. Right? As far down as Cincinnati, be hard-pressed to give New Orleans that pick if you were Atlanta, but they could be in play. Denver, even Vegas, if they're not set on QB, a lot of options there. But probably a really risky move for Tennessee. The Jets don't have a lot to give, probably, you know, a couple thirds or something like that to move up there, maybe just 1/3, depending. The trade value gets crazier and crazier to figure out. It just, the variance is very high, but just a simple one there that could be possible. The fourth one I want to talk about is the Monty Asomfort special, right? It's if the Giants, Denver, Minnesota, like, all are still interested in pick 4 after what happens at the top 3, right? You think, oh, well, there's one quarterback left. It's J.J. McCarthy of the top guys, and everybody wants to get involved there. So let's say it's Minnesota, which has been the speculation. They acquire 11-23 with this move down. Maybe something else. Maybe it's a 2025 second. Right, they already have got 27-35 in tow. So think about that, 11-23, 27-35. You just go right back up to 5. You get Marvin Harrison Jr. You still acquired all this capital from a desperation move from a lot of teams for the quarterback. Chargers can move back, acquire the capital they need to fix their O-line and defense. They still get a guy like, you know, Fuanga, J.C. Latham, if they want at tackle, or they maybe get Bowers in the move back. Like, that's a really nice three-team look there with Minnesota, the Cardinals, and the Chargers all getting involved there. If the Cardinals are a little concerned, they can move down from 4 to 6. Maybe the Giants want to do a little move up for a quarterback or the top receiver, and Arizona's fine without Marvin Harrison Jr. The Giants move up 2 spots to get Marvin, and the Cardinals are fine with Rome Odunze. That's the other part about this, that if you move down from 4 to 11, you could get back up to 8 with Atlanta to get Rome Odunze, the last of the three receivers. You get him ahead of Chicago. Atlanta still moves back. There's a lot of moving pieces, I think, with this if Arizona gets involved in a trade. Because if you move down to 11, you know, you have a lot of options. You can come back up to 8, as we mentioned already. You can come back up with the Chargers. The Chargers get back to 11. There's a lot of moving parts in the top 10. And Arizona being involved in that movement, I think, only will make the top 10 crazier and more full of trades. So the Monty Ossenfort special, moving back down to come back up, just like last year, moving off of 3 back to 12, coming back up to 6 for Paris Johnson Jr., could see a very similar thing, although it would be tough to move off Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4. Be much more likely if the first three picks are Williams, May, and Marvin, then Arizona pivots. 2 more quarterbacks still available. We could get into that and talk about that all day. After that, for the Monty Ossenfort special there, which is just a cascading domino effect, which I think is really fun to project and forecast and just see how much movement you could possibly generate in the top 10. Encourage y'all to go try that if you're just sitting around waiting for the draft. It's a fun little scenario to throw out there. Another one is teams get aggressive for Terrion Arnold. So draft goes pretty straightforward. We see the 4 quarterbacks come off, maybe a 5th. Let's say that the Colts are the first team to take a corner. Okay, they take Quinyon Mitchell at 15. Seattle's sitting at 16. Obviously, Jacksonville at 17 is still a landing spot for Terrion Arnold. Seattle might get some calls. Pittsburgh, that could be a team that's involved there from 20 to 16. Philadelphia could be a team that gets involved there at pick 22. And don't forget about Green Bay at 25. Obviously, Green Bay giving up the most of the 3. If Seattle feels comfortable with that, if they can Atlanta align, you know, in that area at 25, they feel comfortable with that, there you go. And you've landed more capital for yourself to rebuild the trenches and get a better foundation in those spots to get back to the postseason. Either way, though, I mean, Pittsburgh, there's interest in getting a corner two that can tackle, be involved in the run game, but also be a dynamic cover player. That's really Terrion Arnold to a T. So Pittsburgh makes a mini move up with Seattle. Seattle moves back to 20. They can probably still land Mims. Maybe Latham falls this far. Who knows? Maybe a Graham Barton if they feel more comfortable with that. Like, that could be the spot to grab Graham Barton there in a mini move down for Seattle. If it's Philly, of course, you can probably put yourself in the Graham Barton thing as well, again, very easily. And also in the Pittsburgh-Philadelphia move down, I think you still have a chance if you want, you know, they did bring back Leonard Williams, but if you want one of Byron Murphy, you want one of Johnny Newton, like one of those two at defensive tackle, you might still have that opportunity at 20 and 22. You might not have it at 25. You probably don't have Barton at 25 if you move down that far. That's something Seattle obviously is considering with all of these, but if those three teams that, you know, could use corner help would like to move up for him, Seattle's probably the place. Seattle is because of the lack of capital that they currently have, just feel like the best move down spot that you could possibly want. So, yeah, for aggressive teams, we already mentioned them as a possibility with Buffalo for Brian Thomas. So, like, why not throw three other teams like that in there, like Pittsburgh, Philly, and Green Bay? Because I do think, like, that is something that makes a lot of sense for them. Let's take a quick break here, and we'll be right back and go through the rest of the potential trades in the first round of the 2024 NFL Draft.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
All right, guys, here we go back with It's Always Draft Season here. Second half of the pod, talking about some trades. I think this is a big one. New England and Washington, let's say they get their quarterbacks. Okay, they're picking 2 and 3. They stay there. I think at 34 and 36, both teams in this scenario could get aggressive for offensive line. Because you see that end of tackle run kind of occurring in that early to mid-20s, it could end with Dallas. It could end with Green Bay, right? Those are your potential spots. Maybe Baltimore gets the tail end of it at 30, but it seems more likely the early tackle run with all the names that are going to come off the board, it's going to finish around Dallas or Green Bay. It's a perfect spot to go up. Maybe there are two targets, I think, for the most part here. And I think the third one would be one that's not a current owner of said pick. So I think Philly and Green Bay are two options to move down. I think Philly would have no objection with moving down if their targets at O-line are not available. Maybe they don't like one of the tackles still remaining. Maybe they don't like Graham Barton or Jordan Morgan or Tyler Guyton, and these other teams do. That would be the scenario there where Philly moves out. They think, okay, defensive back talent's there, linebacker talent's there. We know we have to address those positions eventually. We can do that on day two. We can regroup, and we're going to have enough picks to move around. Right? They do have picks 50 and 53, Philly. So that's where it's like, you know, we mentioned the trade up for Terry and Arnold makes a lot of sense, but they could obviously move down, maneuver on the board, get aggressive in some spots where you have pick 34 now. Maybe you're moving up from 50 to get somewhere, like you have two picks down in the top 40, as you once did to start the draft. Like that's a possibility for Philly. Green Bay, same way. Right, Green Bay moves down from 25. They get out of the first round. They have two picks still at what, 34 or 36 and 41. They could get aggressive from 58. They could get aggressive from 88, 91. Green Bay could get aggressive from a lot of spots. They would have an enormous amount of capital with a move down from 25 to 34 or 36, right? Like that's, and that's something Green Bay could do. They could have a tier of players that aren't available. And then, you know, you're regrouping with plenty of good players still available once day two begins. The third spot, and I think this is maybe the best spot for this, is moving up to whoever has picked 23 when that team comes on the clock. It could be Minnesota. It still could be. But if Minnesota gets aggressive, it could be the Chargers, who could consistently want to move back. They don't like anybody at 23. They already maybe grabbed their tackle at 11. And they're moving back again. And then this is a perfect spot for Washington and New England to take advantage of this, right? Because you're getting ahead of maybe two, maybe three, maybe four teams who would be interested in offensive line, right? Pick 23, right ahead of Dallas. Dallas is very interested in O-line. Pick 25, Green Bay, also interested in offensive line. Tampa Bay could be interested if they like one of the interior guys, perhaps. Maybe Arizona's interested at 27, and obviously we've mentioned Baltimore, Detroit, maybe an interior player that they really, really like at 29. They have no fear of taking a guy that they like whenever they want to. So you want to get ahead of that like late first-round run. Pick 23 is probably the most ideal spot, especially if Philly's not interested in moving around. That's probably your ideal position if you're New England or you're Washington and you want to move back into the first to grab an offensive lineman before that first and second tiers dry up completely, right? Because you're going to have a young quarterback. You want to have make sure that they are in the best spot to succeed when they start to play. So, okay. So, another one involving Washington here that I think is very possible, and it doesn't really land in the first round, but I think it something that could happen in the first, not involving some of the first round picks, but Washington, they take Jaden Daniels. They want Brandon Ayuk. Okay. Maybe they're willing to send a lot of picks to San Francisco. Maybe then they still move back. They get Ayuk. Maybe they somehow land 31 in the process. They're giving up 36 and 40. Maybe they're giving up the 2025-1. They're doing a lot of things that they could do with the amount of capital they have to find a way to land their quarterback, their wide receiver, and a tackle. And they do all three in that scenario, even trading with the Niners, right? Niners still have 31. Is 31 an Ayuk for 36, 40, and 2025 first lopsided in any way? Maybe it's still lopsided to the Niners. But even then, like Washington, you get Daniels, you get Ayuk. Maybe you get a Jordan Morgan or a Kingsley Suamataia at 31. Maybe Tyler Guyton falls there, right? Like it's a possibility. So, you know, got to throw out that possibility of Ayuk getting moved, whether it be to Pittsburgh, whether it be to Washington. I think those are your two options right now. I don't see Jacksonville trying to do that, but you never know. I think Washington, with all the capital they have and them knowing they're landing a QB at two, feels like the, like, okay, go all in for your young quarterback type of move, which, you know, you could argue the merits of that and whether or not that's a good idea. But there you go. Maybe Terry McLaurin ends up on the move because of that. Like, there, again, another domino effect that could see, you know, multiple receivers in motion on Thursday night. But Washington going after Ayuk is something that, you know, you talk about Daniels and neighbors on their little Instagram live talking about, like, something about a former teammate. Could be Ayuk. So just something to watch for in that regard. A few more here. One of them is Chicago moving off of pick 9, which I think is something we don't often consider because we think of Roma Dunze, we think of offensive line, we think of Verse, we think of Turner, we think of Byron Murphy, who's like now in that buzz where he's going between 8 or 18 and could be the first defender off the board. Maybe it's Chicago at 9, right? If Atlanta moves out and somebody comes, a lot going on. But Chicago moves off the pick nine because the receivers are going. Receivers are flying off the board. Or Rome is still available. Maybe Rome Odunze is available. Indy and Jacksonville are interested. Both of them considering a move up. Would there be anyone else? Maybe. Feels like too far for Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh has, you know, been a team who has moved up in recent years. They've obviously moved up for Devin Bush in 2019. They moved up for Broderick Jones a few spots last year. But I think Pittsburgh to Seattle is probably where they're looking at with a move, unless Rome falls further than this. But for pick nine, I feel like that's not where Pittsburgh is going to be at with their with a move like that. I think it's Indy or it's Jacksonville or Cincinnati if they move on from T. Higgins during the draft. But we'll put that one on the back burner. Indianapolis could have Rome Odunze, Michael Pittman Jr., and Josh Downs for Anthony Richardson. Or Jacksonville actually finds a wide receiver one. Like, I think Christian Kirk has been operating as like a wide receiver 1B to 2, like, but also as the de facto one. But I think if you have Rome Odunze, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Gabe Davis, like, that's pretty solid. I'd be pretty pleased with that if I were them. So, yeah, Jacksonville giving up capital to make a move like that. I know Jacksonville has not been very good with their early round capital in recent memory. So maybe they don't want to put all their chips in one basket for this, but I do think Jacksonville could get aggressive. They don't have the receiver. They lost out on Ridley. And also, you know, Chris Ballard saying, like, we got our QB. Let's do everything we can for him to this point. Chicago moves off that pick. They go to 15 or 17. This is probably where you see them land versus Latu, Newton or Murphy, or maybe Fatanu. If it's Indy's pick, I think it would still be available there. Mims, J.C. Latham. Offensive line or defensive line for Chicago if they move down, which I think is not a bad move because they have four picks right now. They could add a couple more in this scenario and be able to just add a little bit more young talent to the room for 2024. Okay, just a few more trades to think about here. The first would be an aggressive Kansas City Chiefs team where, you know, they're at pick 32. Maybe Brian Thomas has fallen and maybe they want to get aggressive to go get him. Or they just want one of the Texas guys and they're willing to make the move for that. Or they want one of the tackles, which, you know, Fatanu, Mims, you start to see some of these guys fall and you might think that Kansas City might not be a team to get aggressive for that, but they, why not? Like, this would be you'd finally be using your first round pick wisely, right? So let's say LA, Pittsburgh, maybe Miami are teams that are going to potentially move off that pick. Miami moves down from 21 to 32. I think they still land Jackson Powers Johnson if they want him. Pittsburgh, they want to capitalize at receiver, Jackson Powers Johnson as well. Frazier, anything like that, I think that is a perfect spot. Same with the Rams. The Rams want to add defensive talent, offensive line. Maybe they're moving off that pick. Like, that's, you know, all things that considered, like, the Kansas City goes up to get Fautanu, goes up to get Mims, goes up to get Latham. Like, that would be something Kansas City should be interested in and would be a really nice little shocking twist there to kind of start the second half of the first round. Or they go up to get Brian Thomas Jr. And I think that Brian Thomas Jr. probably goes earlier than this. Maybe it's 15 with Indianapolis. I think Jacksonville would obviously be interested, of course. But if he trickles down the board at all, you never know. You never know. The one thing else is if they want someone like Tyler Guyton, they could potentially maybe move up to Green Bay spot at 25. Send him a pick or two there. Green Bay moves back to 32, ends the first round with picking somebody that they probably would have wanted at 25 anyway. And so I think, like, Kansas City getting aggressive is something we should definitely consider for sure. We've kind of talked about Buffalo already, but, like, you want to go for a three-peat, Offensive tackle is a huge need for them. Receiver obviously is a need, but something I think they could fix with pick 64. Something they could fix with pick 95. Just getting somebody in that room. Whereas tackle, it's going to be a little harder because there's the understanding of how bad offensive line is. And we kind of talked about this a few times on the pod in the offseason, where it's just like, going on the list of teams, how many teams need offensive line? Like, genuinely, so many. So, like, Kansas City moving up, you know, 10, 12, 13 spots for offensive line shouldn't be too crazy. It really shouldn't. So, there you go. Kansas City making a move up the board. I think Detroit going to land a star is something that would be worth a peek. Because, and I don't think it's for Thomas Jr. necessarily. I know Jameson Williams hasn't panned out. That just doesn't seem like the MO for Detroit. I think if they're moving up, they're moving up to land, as crazy as it sounds, Barton. Right? They could move up to go get Barton. Who would they trade with to do this? LA, Pittsburgh, Philly. Three teams that would make sense there for sure. If Barton's still available there, obviously Pittsburgh's shown interest, so it's possible it's not Pittsburgh. You go LA or Philly. Maybe you move up to LA spot to get somebody like Verse or get somebody like Latu, who you think could pair really well with Hutchinson to generate a ton more pressure off the edge. Or you get even crazier and you move up to 16 and you go land Terrion Arnold. Like, go get somebody that's going to help your defense in a big, big way, or is going to add plenty of insurance for yourself in case Frank Ragnow retires like that, or is just can't stay healthy and is sitting more times than not. And so, like, Detroit, you go edge, corner, interior offensive line, like three things that could, of course, be available at 29, right? You talk about Detroit and, like, Marshawn Nyland has come up now for them at 29. Kool-Aid, DeJean, and Wiggins, one of those three could be there. Maybe they're just going to take Rakestraw because they like him. All options. Right, and they could still get Jackson Powers Johnson there if they wanted him, I think. But if they want, like, a Terrion Arnold, a Jared Verse, like, they're probably going to have to move up. And you never know. Like, Detroit has just kind of done things their way. And trading up hasn't really been part of that a ton, other than moving up 20 spots for Jameson Williams, right? That was sarcasm. Like, they've done it. Like, they have been aggressive when they want to go get somebody they really like. Terrion Arnold might be that guy. So we talked about Philly, Pittsburgh, and Green Bay getting aggressive for Arnold. Detroit could do the same exact thing. They really, really could. Would not be shocking at all. The last one I have on here, before we get to maybe a little crazier thing at the end, is just a Baltimore-Philly swap here. Baltimore going up to get O-line, like a Guyton, like a Barton, like a Mims. Philly dropping down because they feel like they could get a defensive back they like at 30. DeJean, Wiggins, Kool-Aid. Or Philly finally makes the investment at linebacker, and they know they can move down 8 spots and take Edgerrin Cooper or Junior Colson, who could crack the first round. Like, I think that's a type of, like, little trade there where you go, okay, Baltimore got aggressive. They went and got a line. They need a line. Right, I don't think Baltimore's moving up for receiver. I think they'd rather just take one at 30 if they're doing that. Maybe Baltimore moves up for, like, Verse, but it just, offensive line is the need. So if they go do that, yeah, it makes a ton of sense. Philly moves back, gets linebacker or DB, or an offensive lineman they think they can get at 30 that they like. So an interesting little Baltimore-Philly swap, I think, is very, very possible. Other than those, it just, that, which is a lot of teams that could move around. Like, this could be just a lot of trades. We could see a record number of trades. It wouldn't shock me a whole lot. The last of this is the QB thing, the QB scenario where New England doesn't take the QB. And they're like, all right, fifth year option. They come in, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, two teams that can move down, 23, whoever has pick 23. We've talked a lot about that. Pick 23 is a pick that's probably getting moved in some capacity, maybe twice on Thursday night. So maybe New England gets aggressive for that, or Vegas gets aggressive for that. Right, Denver doesn't have their second round pick, which is a problem. But New England is your team to go make a move like that. Maybe Carolina slightly moves up to go grab the receiver. That's the other team outside the first round where I go, yep. Other than who you've mentioned already about New England and Washington going up for O-line, that I would sit there and go, yeah, like that's a team that could 100% move up to go get something other than an offensive tackle. Is New England for QB at 34, Carolina for receiver at 33. If they feel like, you know, they're in a spot where Carolina's like, all right, we got to get ahead of the Chiefs somehow for Adonai or Ladd, which I don't think Ladd's going to be a first-round pick, but like Adonai or Worthy, if they want one of those two, maybe they feel like at 33 they got to get ahead of a few teams. Like, I think those are the trades, the overall, though, that you're looking at. There's a lot of them for the 2024 NFL draft. So there you guys go. A little short pod, mini pod for you guys. Talking about trades for the draft. We'll have a few more of these kind of more wide-ranging previews as we get ever so close to the draft. There's obviously going to be a ton of coverage here. Post-draft, every day we'll have a little recap, and then we'll have the kind of full thing and then grades and all that stuff. So not going anywhere in this next week or so in terms of coverage. Maybe we'll throw on some live reactions onto here. But yeah, I hope you guys are excited for this. NFL fans and Packers fans alike, I think it's going to be just an extremely exciting first 2 days. And of course, third day's a marathon, but it's always fun to see players you land on day three. So I hope you guys are counting the hours, because I'm all of us here in the network are. Thank you guys for listening. I will catch you guys in a pod very, very soon. Take care. Enjoy your Tuesday.